good morning. Want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. Happy to be here. And want to welcome everyone here too again. We're happy to have you with us this morning. I've enjoyed the service so far too, and it's early and earlier than normal, so it's a little different, but I always enjoy that, just to make the service a little more maybe spontaneous is the word. I like that. There is, in the early 1920s, there was a communist leader, I think it's pronounced Nikolai Berkin, I'm not sure how to say his last name. He was sent from Moscow to Kyiv to address an anti-God rally, or a protest, basically to say that there's no God in this communist country. And for an hour, he abused and ridiculed the Christian faith. And he did it so long and so good until it seemed like the whole structure of belief in Christianity or in God was in ruins. And then he said he invited people to ask questions. And an Orthodox church priest rose, and he asked if he could speak, and he had permission to speak. And so he turned around, and he faced the people, and he gave them the Easter greeting. He said, "He is risen." And instantly, the whole assembly in the whole crowd, they rose to their feet, and the reply came back loud and clear, "He is risen indeed." And I just had to think, you can't quench the Holy Spirit. Even in the midst of these communist countries where they spend much time to push it down, one brave soul stands up and said, "He is risen." And the people, I think God created people to want to believe in God and to believe in the resurrection and to do that. But this morning, I would like to say, "He is risen." Yes, He is risen indeed, and that's what we really appreciate. That we put a lot of that gives us a lot of hope to know that and to do that. Message this morning is more about resurrection power, and it is not quite accurate, I don't think, to say that we get our spiritual power from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think spiritual power comes from God, which Jesus is God. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I believe it proves that God has spiritual power that is available to Christians. And the resurrection proves that Satan is defeated and that we don't have to live in defeat. The resurrection gives hope to the people who have desperate need. And the resurrection helps us to know that there is eternal hope for those who love God. The knowledge that God's Son died on the cross and was raised alive again, it sends a very strong message to all that believe that there is power and strength to go on through terrible situations and come out of the other end of the terrible situations, the end of the trial, to come out and be able to smile and forgive. Like Norvin said this morning, the resurrection power that we are speaking about is what it says in Philippians 3:10, where it says, Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that we may know Jesus and the power that is available to all Christians through him." And we understand better because of his resurrection, of Jesus arising, we understand better about salvation. This verse also says in that we want to be surrendered to him in such a way that we will suffer like he suffered, even unto death, because we love him, because we love Jesus. That is what Paul says in this verse. And if we are interested in having the power that raised Jesus from the dead, if we're interested in having that power to raise us from the dead in the end of this world and also raise us onto a new spiritual life in this life that we live in, This is how we need to surrender our lives to Jesus. We need to do that. I want to maybe branch off of the actual resurrection a little bit this morning, but I would like to look at John 20. I'd like to read that chapter. You're welcome to turn with me to John 20. I just want to read this account of Jesus being arising from the dead. And this account, I think, is a little more special than the others. John gives a little more, maybe not detail, but there seems to be more affection in the way John writes this passage. And so I wanted to read this passage just to remind us of what this is like, what it was like then. John chapter 20, first verse. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth in that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and he said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Then Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I'm not going to make any comments on this scripture of much, but that scripture is very comforting. There's a lot of power in those words, recognizing that this happened and giving the account of how it happened in the little details that are shown, that are written about Mary Magdalene and how they, how she had these encounters. And the one thing that really stood out to me was that John wrote this, in how he kept not saying his own name or saying I, but talking about this other third person, which was really him, how he mentioned that that linen cloth that was around Jesus' head was up on some other place wrapped around. And he gave that little detail that, to me, gives me strength that that came down through history, just that tiny detail that he noticed that, and that Peter outran him. Peter went into it before he did. He stopped and waited. Those things, to me, bring a stronger point that it helps me to believe stronger, helps my faith when I read about those things. This message is really is about being surrendered, but I wanted to read this first account of Jesus' resurrection because it reminds us of what really happened, and it shows us plainly that it did happen. I understand that in the mind of someone who struggles to believe or who doesn't have faith in God's word, that this isn't proving to them necessarily, it could prove to them, but it may not prove to the skeptic that it really happened. And I'm not trying to convince you about the validity of this story, but if you have faith in Jesus, in his words, this is a very awesome story about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And to the believer, it brings such hope to us. It just gives us such hope. And if you're struggling today, I know that you think of a Christian church that people don't struggle, but I think people in Christian churches like us still struggle believing too. And so if you're one of those that are struggling your faith in Jesus today, I invite you to make a choice to believe in him through the faith that other Christians around you who are already believing, go on their faith. Look around you. Go on someone who's believing, who has strong faith, and living by him by faith. Hold on to the hands of the Christians around you that are being strong, that are really excited about this hope. This morning, I want to harness the power that was shown on the resurrection of Jesus Christ into our lives. That's my encouragement this morning. And I believe the first thing that we need for us to be able to harness this power is we first have to believe. Jesus told Thomas that it was better to believe by faith than it is by sight. And basically, I think Jesus is saying, it's better to have complete trust in me. Jesus is saying it's better to have complete trust in him than to have partial trust. Give your all. Put all your trust in Jesus. If we believe properly about Jesus being raised, it will dispel the darkness of despair in our lives that can easily surround us. It gives us hope for the future. If we believe correctly about Jesus being raised from the dead, we can face the hardships better that you're going to face or are facing. It gives us light through the dark valleys of life. So we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we must believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. That is the first step for us to really harness this power into our lives. And then the second thing that we need to have for this power to be relevant in our lives, to be working in our lives, is to lay down our life at the cross, dying to self, surrender. To be fully connected to this power, we have to be humble and willing to lay our lives down. And I believe the problem that many of us struggle with is we want to be alive. We want to be joyful. We want to be exuberant about our Christian faith. We want to have the joy of Jesus in our heart, and we want to be on fire. But we haven't laid our life down yet. We're still not willing to lay it down yet, maybe. And Jesus could not have risen from the dead if he didn't first lay his life down at the cross. So we must first lay our lives down if we want to be raised spiritually. And I'd like to sing a course, number 680 in the Faith and Praise. I don't want to sing the verses. I just want to sing the course together. I think this course just brings out the point of surrender more to us. Are we willing to sing this song? And I'm not forcing you to sing this song. I just want you to make the choice to sing. I'm sorry, did I say 780? It's 680. I'm not sure what I said. I have to get it here first. But I just want us to think about telling Jesus yes to our life, to give him our life. So we'll just sing the chorus. I don't want to sing the verses this morning. Maybe we'll stand together to sing.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes.
Thank you. You may be seated. That song has been going through my mind as I was studying, and I just think that I believe that if we're willing to say, tell Jesus yes, that that is what we need to do. That it will give us the power. It'll help us connect that power into our lives. Complete surrender. And I want to spend the rest of the time speaking about surrender a little bit. I think there is a principle that parallels Jesus giving up his life and coming back to a new life. And if we say yes to the will of the Father, it brings newness of life to our hearts and to our life. The power of the resurrection is what makes us alive and gives us newness of life. In John 10, verse 18, Jesus said, "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And this commandment I have received from the Father." So when Jesus came to earth, he came with power to lay his life down, and he came with power to take it back again, or take life again. And we usually focus on Jesus having power to raise himself from the dead, but we don't usually focus on Jesus having power to lay down his life. So that God gave the choice for us to surrender, or gave Jesus the choice for him to surrender, to lay his life down, the power to lay his life down, or to call 10,000 angels, Jesus surrendered and said, "I'm going to go through with this." So that power is what, the power to have newness of life happens when we give our life to Jesus in the same way. It's the power that makes us alive. It's the power that gives us joy and gives us peace. And today there are many people, Christian people, all over the world who are celebrating Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, many people are doing lots of things so that they can get this aliveness and the newness in their life, and to get this feeling. They want to have an experience of newness in our life, and we want that. And so we're doing all these other things, trying to get emotionally stirred up so that we can have this joy unspeakable that we want to have. Everyone desires to feel that power. And in Romans, Paul speaks about being raised again in newness of life. So we want to be like that. Is there, you know, there's nobody here this morning, I doubt there's anyone here this morning, that you want to be sad or you want to be tired. You want to be disappointed. You just want that. You'd rather be gloomy. You know, that's not the way we are. We don't want to do that. And there's people that we have heavy hearts because of something we're going through. And there are things in life where a loved one passes away and we have natural sorrow. That's a natural thing that we go through, and it's part of life. And that can take our joy away, but it does not take that inner peace and that deep down joy that Jesus gives us with newness of life when we are raised up with him. So this morning I just want to think of everyone. We all want to experience that newness of life. And the reason so many Christians, the reason we struggle with receiving that in our lives is because we want to have that, but we really haven't completely surrendered our will and our ways to Jesus properly, or we haven't surrendered at all. And for us to get that in fullness, to get that in complete in our hearts and in our lives, we have to completely surrender. We have to give everything. In Romans 6:5, it says, "For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." So this verse is saying that we made the choice to give our hearts to Jesus and to live for him, that we were planted with him. When we do that, we're planted with Jesus. When we come to the foot of the cross and we repent of our sins and we give our lives completely to Christ, that's when we die to ourselves. We're planted with Christ. And then when we come up from the cross is when we are raised in newness of life. And there's a little poem I thought I'd read this morning that talks about this a little bit. The writer of this poem is unknown. It says, "The way of the cross. Some of us stay at the cross. Some of us wait at the tomb. Quickened and raised with Christ, yet lingering still in gloom. Some of us bide at the Passover feast with Pentecost all unknown. The triumphs of grace in the heavenly place that our Lord has made his own. If the Christ who has died had stopped at the cross, his work had been incomplete. If the Christ who was buried and stayed in a tomb, he had only known defeat. But the way of the cross never stops at the cross, and the way of the tomb leads on to victorious grace in the heavenly place where the risen Lord has gone." So praise God, the tomb is empty today. So to really know Christ and experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again is to give up everything else for Jesus. We must die to sin in ourselves. We talked about the martyrs this morning, how they, or the persecuted Christians, and those people choose to surrender their lives for the sake of Christ in a much stronger way than what we need to sometimes. Not that we need to, but they don't really have a choice if they're going to follow Jesus. That's what it takes, is that complete surrender. Giving up ourselves, laying our rights down. So I believe there are things that we can do, practical things that we can do that will help us in everyday life, lay our lives down and be surrendered that will help us be content and also help us bring joy in our hearts. You know, I believe whatever our job is, you know, we need to do it willingly, serve willingly and wholeheartedly. Don't serve halfway. Don't do things halfway. I have in the past complained about what I was asked to do, thinking that I deserve better or that I deserve credit for something I'm doing. But I don't think we should do that. That's wrong. We lose our blessing, and that's not completely surrendered. If Jesus called us to do something, we need to do it with everything that he has given us to do. And I think of the in Luke 12, where Jesus talked about, he also said unto them who invited him, "When you give a dinner or when you a supper, do not ask your friends or your brothers or your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. So he's saying that do things so that you're not noticed. Do things that you won't get paid for. Do things that cause sacrificing for you to help you surrender everything. He also said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So if you want this in your life, you have to give up your ways for those around you. And I want to be kind to help us see that if we want to be happy and content and have the joy of the Lord in your heart, we have to, if we want to experience that resurrection power in our life, we have to give up all of ourselves, not just half of ourselves. Give it all for Jesus and give up our wants and desires for those around us, for our brothers. Lay it completely down for the sake of Jesus. Don't worry if you're abused. Don't worry if your people treat you bad. Be thankful that God gave you the opportunity to serve him in this way. Lay your life completely down. Forget about what's fair and what is right for you. For the sake of Jesus, you know, just let yourself be whatever God leads you. Put your heart completely in his hands. We need to serve other people willingly and without complaining to anyone. We can't make excuses and try coming up with reasons why we can't do a task or that we're asked to do. Or maybe we're struggling with habitual sin and hardly having victory in our life, and we desire that newness of life. If we surrender everything, if we humble ourselves to the almighty hand of God, he will give us that power in our lives. He promises he will do it. And so just asking us today, you know, why not surrender everything to Jesus? And I know that as I look at my heart and I look at my life, and as I was studying yesterday and writing this down, I feel I have probably more to grow than maybe many of you, because I had these selfish thoughts in my heart too and thought, you know, I have to give them up. And sorry thoughts about how I'm mistreated by this or that, you know, that's all wrong. It doesn't pay. It's from Satan. It doesn't help us. And I like to think about this, or I want you to think about it too. What is there in it for you if we don't surrender all? What is it? Just think about that. What is there in it for us if we decide I can't give it all? I can only give 99%. I can't give 100%. What are you saving that 1% for? What is going to gain you? And I like a ledger sheet, and I just had to think about this. If you have a ledger sheet here, you can't read this, but maybe this side says do not surrender. This side says surrender all. And over here, this value of the side that says do not surrender, that side has a value of this life only. This side has a value, eternal value, and it's beyond us. We can't even comprehend how valuable that side is when we're putting it on that side. Over here, where we don't surrender, it says, helps you to look better to the people around you. So when we don't surrender, we're keeping our pride so we can look better to people around us. And over here, it says, may cause you to look poor and maybe a little bit stupid to the people around you. You have to be willing to look like, you know, Jesus went to the cross and looked like he looked terrible. And he was willing to do that. But that over there is the side that we really want to be on. Allows you to be selfish with your personal life on this side. Over here, you have to be generous and kind to other people. This side, make sure I get my needs met first. On the other side, make sure the other people's needs are met first. And the eternal value on not surrendering is zero or less than zero. There's no value when we get done with this life. There's nothing in it for us. And I a lot of times think that there is something in it for me, that I can hold on to it, but it's only in for now. It will not gain me anything past this life. And I only have a moment up here to enjoy it. And so when you think of it in that way, it helps me to recognize that my mind is really messed up sometimes when I start to value things. If I surrender everything and I keep everything surrendered totally to Jesus, in the end, the value that it will have on my eternal life is completely beyond our comprehension. You and I cannot describe how valuable that is. We don't know. It's beyond us. And yet, we still grab onto, in our humanity, we grab onto that little bit of value that we think we're going to gain from doing things our way. In Revelations 20, verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And I just like to look at that verse, that the first resurrection, that's where we come and lay our lives down before the cross, and we're raised again with Christ in newness of life, fully surrendered. And in the second death, we are in eternity, in heaven, bliss, forever and ever. And I just want us to remember that. And just one little story. I read a lot of I read a lot of today in the Word. There are just a lot of little stories in there, inspirational stories, and I got this out of there too. But I don't know who this guy is, but he wrote in a book he wrote, Bruce Larson. It's called Believe and Belong. I never read the book. I just found this clipping out of Today in the Word. But it tells how he had helped people struggling, surrendering their lives to Christ. And he worked in New York City, and he counseled at an office to people that were wrestling with, should I give my life to Christ or not? He met a lot of people like that. Anyhow, he said that one thing that really helped him out in getting people to see it more clearly is he would take them down to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. I've never been to New York, so I can't sort of really picture this in my mind. But and in the entrance of that building is there's a gigantic statue of Atlas, a beautiful proportioned man who's with all his muscles and training, and he's holding the world up on his shoulders. He's trying to hold the world up. I don't know what it looks like. I'd like to see it. And the way the statue is, he's struggling. The world is there, and he's just struggling to hold the world up, but he's strong. And directly across the street from there, there on Fifth Avenue, is St. Patrick's Cathedral. And there behind there, a high altar in the cathedral, there's a little shrine of the boy Jesus, perhaps when he was 10 years old. And with no effort at all in the world, they have him, Jesus, holding the world up on just one hand, just no problem at all. And that helps, helped him to recognize that you can surrender your life to Jesus, and he's got it totally, no struggle at all to have all your issues and problems. And so, or you can try to keep it all yourself and be burdened down all your life with all these struggles and burdens. When you can give them to Jesus, and he'll take them. He'll handle them for you. And it just sort of inspired me to think about that, you know, we think of surrender as something we have to do if we want to be what we want. But if you think about it, surrender to Jesus completely, it's an invitation. It takes a lot off your shoulders. It takes a lot off your heart. It helps you to live and gives you that newness of life that Jesus wants to give us. I'll close with that. I'll leave it open for a little bit for sharing. I was hoping to leave more time open for sharing. I'm sorry, my message was too long. So, but there's a little bit of time if you want to.
I want to say amen to the message. Surrender is